Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation. The entire cost is approximately $350,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
There are people on their faculty who say there is no truth, and if there is, we can never find it. And that suggests we're drifting into a post-Christian world.
They are to be kept distinct. The work of the temporal realm and the work of the spiritual realm are different, but they're not unrelated, and they're not to be kept divorced from each other.
A meek person is a person who simply trusts that God's got their back, and they don't have to avenge themselves. They leave it to God because they know that God is the one who is in charge, not them.
Young Lutherans ages 4 and 6 learn the evening prayer from listening to Issues Etc.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray, forgive me all my sins where I
Punctuation counts. Here's a headline recently from CNN. Trump claims Biden, a devout Catholic, wants to, quote, hurt God, end quote. That was reflected in coverage from USA Today, where Joe Biden was called a devout Catholic. No quotations. This is very odd because Biden's own deputy political director for Biden for President, John McCarthy, has been quoted by the Associated Press calling Biden a very devout Catholic. So why, when CNN and USA Today refer to Biden as a devout Catholic, are the quotation marks missing? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 19th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about media coverage of Joe Biden as a, quote, devout, end quote, Catholic. Terry Mattingly will be our guest. Then we'll spend some time in our series, The Words of Scripture, concluding our walk through the New Testament uses of the word blessed with Pastor Will Whedon, host of the 15-minute verse-by-verse daily Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Terry Mattingly is senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Let's start with the definitions, and we'll get into punctuation. What does devout mean when applying it to someone's faith?
Well, in this case, we have a very specific set of circumstances that complicates that. We've talked about this at Get Religion forever. What does it mean to be devout? You also hear people all the time say that he's a practicing Roman Catholic. Now, that normally means that he goes to Mass a lot. Now, the problem with that is that going to Mass is not the full definition of whether someone is a sacramental Catholic. It also is complicated in the sense that, frankly, you have priests in different parts of America and the world that believe one thing about admitting people to the altar to receive communion, and those have others. So here's what I think is going on right here and what's going to affect the next couple of weeks and months of discussing this issue. You could put this under the headline, "What a Friend We Have in Trump," would be the short way I would describe it. Simply stated, Joe Biden is a devout Catholic because Joe Biden says he's a devout Catholic, and Donald Trump says not only that he isn't a devout Catholic, that he's anti-God. Now, in the mainstream press, at this point, do you think Donald Trump is a great judge of who is or who isn't a practicing or devout Catholic or a practicing or devout anything?
Well, personally, I don't think he is.
Well, but right now, in effect, the press is saying we have to make a decision. Who's right here, Joe Biden or Donald Trump, over who is speaking politely, accurately, whatever, in this case. There's no way that Donald Trump, with all – he's a target-rich environment when it comes with anything having to do with morality, as opposed to, say, whether or not he has appointed consistently conservative judges, which is now open for debate in light of recent Supreme Court decisions. But I think that tells you more about the country club wing of the Republican Party than it does anything else. What I'm telling you is that the word devout is being defined primarily in terms of political realities instead of having anything to do with Roman Catholic doctrine. And if you have listened to this podcast for any time at all, you know that there is absolutely nothing surprising about that. That political realities and political content trump doctrine and religious realities. Now, there's a whole complicated debate right now about what it means to be a practicing Catholic, a devout Catholic, etc. And that's worth having, and we can get to that in a minute. And the name Ted McCarrick will float back to the surface in the midst of that. But none of that has anything to do with what copy desks are trying to decide right now. They're saying, Biden says, I'm a devout Catholic. Donald Trump says Biden is not a devout Catholic. Who are you going to believe?
So let's talk a little bit about style and punctuation in journalism. I noticed that the headline from CNN, Trump claims Biden a devout Catholic, wants to, quote, hurt God, end quote. They did quote Trump. They did not put quotation marks around the word devout, and they very well could have, because that's the party line coming from the Biden campaign. They are saying he's a devout Catholic.
And if that's your standard for being devout, you should put that in quotation marks. I don't know whether you would be able to put quotation marks around the word practicing under those circumstances. I think everyone would have to agree, whether they like it or not, that Joe Biden is a practicing Roman Catholic. But here's another point that we have to get back to. This takes us back to the Obama era, when you had lots of conservatives saying that Barack Obama is not a Christian. Now, others floated off further into the ether and said he was a Muslim and said all this other stuff. But they were saying that he is not a Christian because I do not believe that his beliefs are Christian enough. And the simple fact of the matter is that Barack Obama is a believing, practicing Christian in a doctrinally liberal Protestant denomination. He is a practicing liberal Protestant Christian. So saying he is not a Christian is inaccurate. At some point, people have to say that liberal Christians are Christians, especially in the press if you're trying to do neutral coverage of this. But once again, here's the question. When someone says, I'm a Christian, but, oh, by the way, I don't believe in the resurrection, or, oh, by the way, I've redefined marriage, or, oh, by the way, you can discuss these things in political terms, but some journalists seem to think that you can't say that these people have denied Christian doctrines, historical Christian doctrines, or even printed Christian doctrines in, say, the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church. This gets us back to this ongoing prejudice against the fact that there is factual content related to discussions of church history and doctrine. All of that is trumped by politics. Oh, it's – I remember – think back about a year and a half or 2 years ago. We even had those statements that basically said it is the Pope's opinion that da-da-da-da-da, and the Pope was quoting the Catechism? Well, it's not just Pope Benedict's opinion. Well, first of all, he's the Pope. He has a fairly authoritative position. It's not just Pope Francis's opinion on gender and marriage and sexuality, where his words remain quite traditional. In many cases, they're quoting the Catholic Catechism. It would be much more constructive to the public debates to, instead of making this some sort of public opinion poll, you'd say simply, the Pope continues to defend the Roman Catholic Catechism, which says this. And at least readers would have some understanding that this is not some sort of whimsical opinion that has just floated into the Pope's mind. If you know anything about church history, when you're talking about marriage and sexuality, you could even say the Pope is defending doctrines that go all the way back to the Didache in the early church, the earliest statements of Christian doctrines. I've seen people say, you know, we're talking about 2,000 years of uninterrupted Christian doctrine here. Well, that's not quite accurate because there have always been splinter groups. But in terms of the Eastern Church and the Western Church and its moral teachings, there are things that have been around since the early church. They've been debated since the early church by some people, but they've never been denied. So the big overarching question here is, when you say he's a devout Catholic, are you making a political statement about what he claims and other people claim about him, etc.? Or are you attempting to open a discussion of the debates inside Roman Catholicism about the status of certain Roman Catholic teachings? And there's a left wing, there are centrists, there are conservatives, there are arch-traditionalists. It's a complicated subject, but it has to do with doctrine.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Joe Biden as a devout Catholic. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. We'll be right back.
I am far more concerned than what's happening at the editorial page by what's happening in news pages.
Molly Hemingway speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
In news pages, that old idea that we had for a few decades of aiming toward objectivity has just been completely thrown out the window.
And this is a generalization, but I think it bears out. And again, I mean, even 5-10 years ago, it would have sounded crazy that I'd be saying this, but I mean, I think it is the case. You have to view the explicit goal of most of the major journalistic institutions in this country as electing Democrats. And when they aren't electing Democrats, they're trying to push the Democratic Party further left.
You can watch and listen to a recording of journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway's Q&A from our 2020 Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $250. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming 3-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. the best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest. He's senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, just explain this to me as a journalist to a news consumer. Why can't CNN, instead of saying Biden, a devout Catholic, wants to, quote, hurt God, why can't they say Biden, a Catholic who attends Mass regularly but differs significantly with his church's teachings on certain key issues? Why can't they say that? It's all factual. It's all affirmed by the candidate himself. Why do they go to devout Catholic?
It continues a debate about his status as a Catholic, and it says that there are different kinds of Catholics. When meanwhile, we also know that year after year after year, one of the most important issues in American politics is the swing vote status of the mass-going Roman Catholics. So the last thing the press wants to do right now is hurt Joe Biden with the very block of voters he most needs to defeat, okay, incarnate evil, which is Donald Trump. And incarnate evil would be Mitt Romney, if Mitt Romney was the candidate. But you remember when Mitt Romney was sexist and all those other bad words just a few years ago. What I'm saying here is that politics trumps religion. And I keep using the verb trump deliberately because, A, it's a good verb, but it really is the situation we're in right now. Biden gets to define himself. Trump does not get to define himself. I think everybody would have to agree that what Trump said about their anti-God and all that other stuff was absolutely outrageous. But you end up with a very interesting kind of equation related to that. It's easy to say that what Trump said is mean and cruel. It's a short leap from that to saying that Roman Catholics are being mean and cruel when they ask questions about Joe Biden's loyalty to the actual doctrines of the Roman Catholic Catechism. And that second question is infinitely more important. When Biden talks about being a devout Catholic, he talks all the time about, I grew up in these schools, I go to Mass all the time, this was my parish, I'm very, very loyal to the church. And he talks a lot about what he learned from school and what he learned from the nuns. Joe Biden is very, very clever in that he only talks about Catholic doctrine when it's the doctrines that affirm what he believes and wants to practice as a politician. And Republicans do the exact same thing on a host of issues. I don't want anyone here to think I'm only saying this is a Biden thing. Now, this is the state of a fallen world we live in. What's really interesting is Biden will say things like, I affirm the church, I'm loyal to the church. In effect, he's saying certain Catholic doctrines are true, and thus I follow them. Then there are other doctrines that he doesn't address verbally with speech. You end up saying that it's cruel to say that it is Joe Biden to deny Catholic doctrines with his actions. Now, when you talk about the issue, the ultimate bombshell issue in all this is, should Joe Biden be able to receive Holy Communion in a Roman Catholic Mass? This has been going on with politician after politician after politician for decades. And in his case, he's moved past debates about abortion, the primary issue that's been discussed. And by the actual performing of a same-sex marriage rite, using his secular status, you know, a political status or public official status, He moved on the actions of marriage and sexuality. He moved from just being silent on a certain issue and even moved from verbalizing a change on certain issues. He moved to action. So what I think our listeners should look for as we watch this issue in the weeks ahead, if you read a story about Biden's status in the Roman Catholic Church and it doesn't mention his performance of a same-sex marriage and the fact that prominent Catholic bishops, including the leader of the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference, posted that this action would confuse the public and confuse Catholics about the status of the moral teachings of the church. If you read an article that doesn't get into a discussion of that action and the ongoing controversy about communion in the church, you really should question the factual contents of that story.
So I'm curious, a little more detail about the reaction of not just the average pew-sitting Catholic, but the bishops in the United States. Mm-hmm. That's significant. And they are usually very judicious and very careful when they call public figures and politicians on the carpet about their deviations from Catholic teaching. Very rarely you will hear one of them say, you probably shouldn't be seeking to receive communion, something like that.
Right.
That is exceedingly rare.
And that brings up a very interesting and messy set of facts. For years, we've talked about whether or not there are Kennedy Catholics. It's very important to say there is such a thing as a Mario Cuomo Catholic. And of course, I'm talking about Mario Cuomo, the former governor who back in the 80s gave a very famous and important address at Notre Dame University, in which he kind of did an extensive apologetics for the entire, I don't believe in abortion personally. I'm personally opposed to abortion, but I'm going to defend it in public policy. And that has been the mantra of the Catholic left ever since then. So there are definitely Mario Cuomo Catholics. You're going to hear a lot right now as the Catholic left begins to say that Joe Biden is a Pope Francis Catholic. And what they mean by that is preferential option for the poor. He's got their position on immigration. Now, he's changed his position to oppose the death penalty. And they'll say, and he believes with Pope Francis that we've been focusing too much on moral and social issues like abortion and gay marriage. And that gets us back into those famous, very truncated, limited quotes of Francis that go all the way back to the beginning of his papacy. Everybody likes this quote when he says we should be talking less about abortion, and don't note that the very next day he had scathing, very strong words on abortion when he spoke at Italy's largest pro-life conference. Nobody ever seems to quote what he said the day after that statement. But anyway, here's the really embarrassing thing. If you're looking for one person more than any other who is responsible for this current lack of courage by U.S. bishops in terms of defending these doctrines, this whole belief of you really should be pastoral, let people define their Catholicism on their own, and maybe local bishops have something to do with determining whether their priests serve communion to people at the altar, but, you know, we really don't want to go there. There is one man more than any other who is responsible for that stance in the U.S. Catholic Church, and his name is Ted McCarrick. More than any other person, there are definitely, on these issues, there are Ted McCarrick Catholics, and there are Ted McCarrick Catholic bishops. Now, does that mean that they condone what Ted McCarrick did in his private life and whatever? No, but that's still the content of the current strategy that most bishops and Catholics are using to kind of stay out of these debates about Holy Communion. They're still on board with what Ted McCarrick postulated and promoted and how he kind of worked that all out gently with progressive Catholics and with the many powerful Washington leaders that he was, of course, at that point, the Archbishop of Washington. There's an excellent article on this, which I intend to link to at Get Religion, by a conservative Catholic named Phil Lawler, Lawler, if people want to try to search for it. And it's the headline is McCarrick's Legacy in the Biden Communion Debate. And there are all kinds of interesting links connected to this. This is a valid topic for press coverage. And there are facts involving doctrine. And there are facts involving papal letters. There's lots of things here to discuss. The issue is whether you want to actually cover this as an important issue on divisions inside the Roman Catholic Church in the United States and to some degree a global context, or do you want to continue to leave this as Donald Trump is mean, Joe Biden is kind, that settles it?
I can think of two fair ways that devout that particular adjective, and I want to talk to you about adjectives before we wrap up in journalism, but I can think of two fair ways it could be interpreted. He is personally devoted to the institution of the church. I think that's a fair reading of that adjective. And in that case, I think Joe Biden probably qualifies because he likes being a Roman Catholic. That's quite obvious from his writings.
And he has lived through things in his life in terms of the death of family members and things that I have. No one should question that his Catholic faith and that priests and nuns were important to him through those crises.
The other way that it can be fairly read is devout in terms of, as you have pointed out already, adherence to the doctrines of the church. So the question, I guess, is since it can be fairly read in two different ways and you're only going to confuse consumers of news, should that adjective simply be avoided to practice good journalism when it comes to the Catholicism of Joe Biden?
Once again, you've made the central point here that our listeners need to hear. The question is whether you will cover this as a journalistic story and issue, whether you need to let readers know that Joe Biden's approach to the faith is affirmed primarily by doctrinally progressive and liberal Catholics, and that there are conservative Catholics and the Roman Catholic Catechism on certain issues that oppose what he's saying and doing. Are you going to pull other voices, attributed information, church history, and even quotes from the Catechism in this debate? Are you going to treat it as a journalism story in which there's factual religious material that must be covered? Or are you going to leave it at the level of a political shouting match, which is totally in Biden's interest, and it's totally not in Trump's interest, although it's kind of hard to talk about Trump's interest on anything having to do with Christian devotion and knowledge of doctrine and practice of the faith. This is kind of a plague on both their houses kind of argument if you leave it at the level of shouting. Biden's nice, Trump is mean, we're done. No, there's a much more complex issue going on in the background, and it will have a lot to do with what Catholics think, say, and do going into this election. And Catholics are the swing vote. Forget the white evangelicals right now. There might be a few more of them in play because Biden doesn't scare them as much as Hillary Clinton. Who knows what will happen in the coming weeks and months that affect that. But the evangelicals are not crucial in any major state, unless possibly it's Latino evangelicals in Florida would be really crucial. The crucial voters in this election, once again, are Roman Catholics who go to church on Sunday morning. And trust me, this debate matters to many of them.
From a journalistic standpoint, what do you think is best practices when it comes to the use of adjectives like devout?
I wouldn't be using it. I would be attempting to factually describe that there are progressive Catholics who welcome Joe Biden's approach to the faith, and there are conservative Catholics who are angered by it, and that this is a sign of a division in the American Catholic Church, and that there are other people who are mad at the bishops for not speaking up on it. You're not going to put that in a headline anytime soon. But listeners also need to know there is no question that he is a Catholic. If you want to get right down to brass tacks, Mike Pence is still a Catholic. Both of those men, from the viewpoint of the Catholic Church, are one trip to confession away from being in perfectly practicing fine status with the Roman Catholic Church.
So we're going to attempt to get the Biden campaign's National Faith Engagement Director, Josh Dixon, on the program. Give us a few questions that you would like asked of him.
I would ask him if he believes that Biden's choice to perform a same-sex marriage represented a statement of his beliefs about what the Roman Catholic Church, including Pope Francis, teaches on marriage and sexuality. Was there doctrinal content to that action by Joe Biden? I would ask him a question about his decision to say he plans to take the Little Sisters of the Poor right back into the dock again and try to make them cooperate with the funding of various forms of birth control, and some would say abortifacients. Little Sisters of the Poor, he performed a same-sex marriage. Does he believe there's any relevance to that doctrinally in terms of his support for Catholic teachings on marriage and sexuality? I would also ask him point blank, if you handed him a copy of the Roman Catholic Catechism, would he sign it? Would he say, I believe the teachings of the church as expressed in this book?
Why that question, Terry?
Now, there's a whole lot of doctrines in the Roman Catholic Catechism, and a lot of Catholics may struggle with a lot of them. So you could say there's really two questions here. One is, I believe all of these doctrines. And the other is, I recognize of the authority of the Catholic Church to state these doctrines, to teach these doctrines, and to defend them. And the minute you say the word defend, we're getting down into whether the Catholic Church can talk about issues like denying communion to someone who has rejected the teachings of the church.
I'm wondering about when perhaps a normalcy returns. And Joe Biden, let's say for the sake of argument, he is elected. And he's able to travel and do the appearances that a president ordinarily does. Do you believe, given what you've seen of him in all these decades, that he is able to walk into a religious setting? I'm not talking about necessarily a Catholic church, but maybe something along those lines, and talk the talk.
He can certainly speak fluent Catholic. And he also speaks a form of interfaith religion and has chosen a vice presidential candidate who actually helps him here. He's going to get along just great with liberal mainline Protestants. Look for lots of glowing words about him from Episcopalians and Presbyterians and ELCA Lutherans. He is, in that sense, it's the return to the Obama-Biden years, which was, in terms of the public square, a great time to be a liberal mainline Protestant. But I'll make one other statement here. Watch this carefully in the next weeks ahead. Right now, in America, it is a great time to be a liberal evangelical and to be a progressive evangelical. And you can expect quite a few of them will either be standing beside Biden at crucial times, or they'll be making interesting statements about why it's really not that bad to vote for Biden, because what's the alternative, again? Voting for Donald Trump. Now, for someone like me, who is a third-party voter once again in this upcoming election, because I can't in good conscience support either of these men based on their statements about the First Amendment and a lot of other things, and Trump's moral character. We could get into a long discussion about that. But simply stated, watch for liberal and evangelicals and progressive evangelicals in the weeks ahead. I think you can expect to see quite a bit of public relations and public statements to pull them into the Biden campaign in a very visible way.
I'm curious, the Democratic National Convention's virtual appearance is going to be concluding soon, and it will, of course, crescendo with an address by the candidate himself, not just thanking people for the nomination, but casting a vision, so to speak, for the nation. And I'm sure it will be very well watched. Do you expect him to ring a few Catholic bells in that speech?
Every other sentence, or at least every other paragraph. His slogan for this campaign is restoring the healing the soul of America. Trump has attacked the soul of America. And you're going to hear that language over and over and over, and he's going to link it to his legacy and heritage and affection for his Catholic roots. He's going to play that card early and often in that speech, because that's where the election will turn, on the Catholic swing vote and whether or not he can peel off evangelicals, both white and black and others. He's going to try to say, happy days are here again. If you're in the middle of American religious life, let's all hug and move on from all of that bitter, angry stuff about doctrine.
Isn't it ironic, however, that at least at this point in the Democratic Party's life cycle, in the era of Trump, that they are embracing an overtly religious candidate again?
No, because he doesn't hold any beliefs that threaten the religious left. And we will watch some discomfort with some of this from the atheist, agnostic, religiously unaffiliated wing of the modern Democratic Party, and that is huge. But a lot of them will say, hey, we know that he needs to say this to work with Catholics and the black church. And he's not proposing a single political action that we cannot affirm when it comes to, I mean, if he came out with some sort of statement that said, we really need to find centrist, tolerant positions on the First Amendment, and I was one of the guys who pushed for the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and you know what? If it came up again today, I'd do it again. And we need to find a way for religious conservatives and religious liberals to both be able to practice their faith enthusiastically. At that point, the left would freak out. So I don't think he's going to do that. He's going to talk the language of kind of, I hesitate to say this, he's going to give us a lot of moralistic therapeutic deism and a lot of kind of centrist sounding love of God. Let's all be in here together and help the poor and all that bitter, angry stuff that Trump has used to divide us. I hereby, with the help of the New York Times editorial pages, CNN and NPR, I wave my magic wand and it's gone.
Terry Mattingly is senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
Our series on the words of Scripture continues on the other side of the break with Pastor Will Wheaton, host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. We are going to conclude our walk through the New Testament looking at the word blessed. Stay tuned. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $350,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
From New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, visit us at the Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York. A small, confessional, conservative Lutheran church with traditional Lutheran liturgical worship, gospel-rich, shenanigan-free. For more information, visit us at OurRedeemerLCMS.org.